Welcome to this episode of Pints and Pairings Unfiltered. Soon you'll be joining a taste description of Feral One with Jeffers Richardson, the Barrel Works Director, and Jim Crooks, the Master Blender and Guru of Firestone Walker's Wild Ale program. If you don't know about Firestone Walker's Barrel Works program, you can learn more about it at firestonebeer.com. Now, let's get to the Feral One conversation.
Boom!
There's some carbonation. The one we're about to have, just because of the balance between all the characteristics we're talking about, acidity, oak, it's a blend of beers that were 18 months to 32 months old. There's just so much going on in this beer, and it's got this beautiful, I mean, it's got a nice firm acidity, but not too much. It's really quenching. And sour opal, just sheer age. What can happen to a beer? It's almost sort of gooze-like. It's beautiful.
And
about it. So.
Well, in our glasses we have Feral One. Is that correct? I'm looking true.
Or no? Our very first bottled beer.
And one of my favorite descriptions from you on the spec sheets here is just the mouth-watering acidity, and
the acidity for me it really speaks to.
And the carbonation.
There's almost like a dancing between a rhubarb and like a tomato or cherry tomato kind of play where it's not just fruit that's coming out for this aroma for me.
Really interesting. I've never heard that one.
I love listening to you. This is great. But I mean, the city here again, it's got a firm acidity, but it's not scorching and it's not over the top. I mean, funny enough, what we're hearing, though, is that people, it's kind of like what's going on with hops and beer, is people want more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing that also in terms of
more acidity.
You know, we're part of our philosophy is so much about balance. You know, even when we're not trying to be balanced, it's in our DNA at Firestone. It's kind of a
can I give a little shout out, Curtis, to our friends at Rio Gozo Farms in Ojai. I have a CSA box that we get every week, every Tuesday. And Curtis, I know you have a program that you're with as well with a different farm. But just this past Tuesday, our CSA box came and there was an ingredient or a leaf in there that I had never seen before. It's tall and slender, light green, almost like a feather shape. Hmm. And we're like, I have no idea what this is. It's like dandelion greens. What is it? Thankfully, on their website from the previous week, they said coming soon, sorrel, S-O-R-R-E-L. Yeah. I never experienced that before, so I had to look it up. This is very, very reminiscent of that first bite I took of the leaf. Sorrel is
an herbaceous character?
No, more from the tart fruitiness. It's very sour. It's got oxalic acid in it, so I had to read up on what that meant. And the tartness and the fruitiness that's coming out of that leaf and now out of the Feral One glass for me are very similar. It's kind of fun to see that.
Look into that.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, I was blown away when I took a bite of the first leaf after reading on Wiki kind of what it was. There's a tartness and a fruitiness, and Wiki was describing it as kind of like kiwi or wild strawberry fruit. There's not a lot of green component or green compound in the sorrel when you first try it. Wish I had some with me now to kind of give you guys a comparison.
Yeah, I wish you did.
I was totally baffled by it, and I'm really excited about the fact that they had that in the box, and now I have a kind of association with what that means in the beer. Because that was the reflection I had when I took a bite. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of like a soury, almost yeasty something.
Huh. Well, we've been trying to figure this out. We've been noticing this, and we've gotten feedback about the citrus character of this. And we've thought about that, in terms of acidity, but also in terms of aroma compound. And one of our hypotheses is that there's a citronella or a citrus aroma character. It comes from a terpene. And terpenes are in hops, or they're in a lot of things, but they're also in the oak. Most of these beers don't have a high amount of hops, so I'm not sure if that's it. It could be, but we think it could be something that through the process of aging and maturation and oxidation is that we're getting this interesting character from the oak that's producing this, I mean, aroma-wise, this citrus character.
But both of these beers side by side have been just unique in their citrusy aroma, though. For me, with the Feral One, it's almost like a ruby red grapefruit or a blood orange kind of direction, whereas with the little opal, it was more kind of the pomelo, white grapefruit, orangey kind of direction.
And then in Agrestic, it's almost citronella verbena. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing. I mean, it pops out. It's a... Very interesting. And it's exciting because now I want to know what that is. So, you know, we've done some research and found some very, like, I mean, bedtime reading type scholarly stuff that, you know, you get 5 minutes a night. But, I mean, it really goes into detail about some of these compounds. And, you know, unless we did some real serious research, it's all speculation.
One of the connections that just lately happened, we are working with a winemaker. His name's Andrew Murray. He's been in the Valley for many years, kind of up-and-coming winemaker, but we're going to be doing a collaboration with him this next year. And so we've had him over, tasted our beers, and it's interesting, his perspective on that aroma was that it was a terpene from the barrel. And it was, for us, we were like, oh, cool, we haven't heard that one.
And then doing some research, could find some information that tied it to oak, as a source for that. And that's something, actually, it's exciting for us. We're doing a couple of collaborations with some wineries here, which it really is fun for us because it really ties we're born out of wine country, and we're working with some wineries to sort of, you know.
Are you talking about blending?
Yeah, hybrids. So
hybrids.
A 50% wine juice or grape juice and malt base too. And then aging in barrels and doing secondaries with Brett as well. So completely changing the platform of what you can do with wine. But one great thing about our this program, and one great thing I'd say about Firestone, and personally from my background working as a QC manager, was that they've always been really giving when it comes to tech, the technology or science and analysis and learning about what these things are, what these flavors are, what these aromas are, and some of the equipment. And so I've been given a free pass to take these beers and do analysis on them as far as, like, you know, acid analysis and aroma analysis. And so I'm looking forward to learning more about what these things are and kind of for myself, because I'm personally interested in it. But hopefully we can bring this to the public and help them learn.
I'll take that, what you're saying, to a whole different level, in that as far as with ownership here, is that, you know, when we started this program, what they said to me is treat this like a joint, an entrepreneurial adventure or venture. It's also an adventure, and we're backing it. And so that what they were basically saying is, you take the reins on this, you guys, and figure out where you want to go with this. Just keep us posted, and we'll support it. I mean, they'll certainly let us know if we're going off in the wrong direction, but they give us a great amount of license to do what we're doing. Which, I mean, we're talking about these science backgrounds, but what we're missing here, what we're not talking about, is we both are very creative people, which sometimes we have to keep in line. But but that's part of the process here, is the blending and all these things and coming up with different ideas to manipulate these things and blend and create. And I don't know about you. I'm in hog heaven.
It really comes out in the glass. I mean, just to put it in its final kind of bullet point in that regard, you can taste the creativity, and as you guys were talking,
should be our next logo. Taste the creativity.
It's not bad, right? I'll trademark that real quick. But you know, there's so many different things that are starting to emerge from each one of these glasses. You know, as I said, as it warms up and as you take a couple more drinks, your palate starts to shift a little bit. So you can taste the passion and the creativity coming out. One of the aromas, a combination of aroma that I was intrigued by, and again, sense memory and reflection is something that we always try to continue to keep in perspective. There's a caramelized onion garlicky little aspect, like a sweet, like a little sweetness that you get by caramelizing onions and garlic as it warms up, that I think is prominent in the nose the more it sits here in front of me. And I'd be curious to see just off the cuff what your hypothesis would be on that, or what you think.
That's the first I've heard that. I think caramelized certainly would relate to, I'm not sure some of the base beers, but it certainly could relate to something coming from the oak, in terms of some of the caramelized wood sugars. And it might be something sort of that synergy.
Because, I mean, the tartness.
About the tartness and,
yeah, and the
and
citrus
some
tartness is
character.
Still there, but, you know, that first big whiff you get, for me, I'm getting a caramelized oniony, garlicky sweetness, like you start to really use as a base for pasta or something, and then that tartness kicks in again, as if you were squirting a zest of fresh lemon juice into the pan.
Wow. Huh. Seems kind of like the the wow. combination of like the combination of the oak and then also the funk, the yeast, you know, and so those two coming together, creating a brand new sort of flavor and aroma.
I mean, you're enlightening us with some characteristics that we haven't thought about. So when I think of I'm thinking about caramelizing onions, and you get that sweetness. It's a sweet caramel character.
Yeah, all the sugar starts to release.
It's like when you're browning onions to make a French onion soup or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Oh, we're on target with that.
That's a new one. I'm going to explore that one some more. I'm going to have to go home and put a couple of these in the refrigerator.
I'm going to go cut up some onions and caramelize them.
Let's do some French onion soup tonight. I want to say just a little bit about, you know, this beer came into being. We were looking down the road, and our first bottling was going to be Little Opal, and it wasn't going to be until March. And it seemed like a long time to wait. And so we thought about it. It's like, you know, why don't we do something? You know, our anniversary is in January. We made it. You know, we made it through a year spending money and not making a dime. And and we're still around. They still have, you know, we're still punching in, and we get to go home and come back. But we thought about it. It's like, wouldn't it be fun to do something like a cuvée or a blend where we just pulled down barrels that we liked that were well-aged and put something together? And that's exactly what we pulled down some barrels, and we went through them. And came up with this blend of four different beers. It was just personal taste. And next year we have a license to do something completely different if we wanted to.
So, well, I like especially you kind of alluded to it earlier too about the well balanced beers and people who are asking for more sour and just on a personal note, you know, I've done the whole brown ale, amber ale, Belgian sweet. Hoppy, giant hoppies, and then coming back to the well-balanced pilsners and enjoying some of these the more delicate kinds of things. And so I really appreciate this on the fact that there's an assertive sourness to this, but it's not an extreme.
It's not
that
a,
I would say,
it
but
doesn't
but then,
overpower the other
no,
characters.
It's not a candy sour. It's not a puckering citric acid kind of sour for me. Especially now that I'm sitting and the glass is finished, it's almost like a green apple or a Gala apple kind of sourness, because then it follows up with some of that starchy sweetness and that little bit of bitterness from the skin.
Are you sure it's Gala and not Granny Smith? I guess it's amazing.
Riveted. To bring it back to even to you, saying the caramelized onion thing, you know, if this had been the extreme tart that you alluded to that people are wanting, that would have covered up those the barrel sweetness that we were finding with this nuance.
And same with I think in hoppy beers. I mean, with the sense if you go too far to one side, then you're missing out on something else. I mean, you're missing out what the yeast does, what the malt does. I mean, we kind of, with all this emphasis on hop beers, we sort of forget that there's different malts that play a huge part of the balance and the body and the flavor. And the same thing here is if we were to make a scorchingly sour beer, you're going to miss out on what the oak's doing. You're going to miss out on somewhat to what the yeast is doing. And that's just not, I mean, we can certainly, and we will, we're going to try some couple beers here that have a bit more acidity. But there's still some other things going on. And that's important to us, really important to us.
Yeah, you can, I mean, when you're blending, I mean, it's almost it's a curse and a blessing, but you can taste as you go, and you're making decisions that can wildly change your goal right away, depending on, you have to have a goal, obviously, where you're going, but, you know, you might find that you found something amazing after you're, you know, two-thirds of the way there, and you want to keep that, and the chances of you keeping that at that point are really slim, because things change, like, you know, less like 10% or even like one barrel can change the flavor characteristics of everything, and you might lose things. I've seen it happen many years during the bourbon barrel blending, and we've, you know, gone for, so we want this cherry pie or this, you know, this coconut thing, and get, like, you know, we're talking 200 barrels in, and you got it, and then, yeah, 215 barrels, it's gone. And it's like, whoa, wait, how do you get back there?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you have to be really delicate and, you know, really take copious notes on what you're doing and almost go barrel by barrel. And because it's challenging to keep it where, and this is, again, really fortuitous the way this turned out. I mean, this has blends of stuff that was done in 2011. I mean, this is partially some of the stuff that was on the doorstep that was going to be thrown out mm-hmm. is in this blend.
When it had a great response, too. We know the community came in for the release, and it was like a madhouse of people wanting this beer. So
that was a fun day.
I mean, and you guys did food pairings.
We did feral food. I mean, our kitchen stepped up. The theme was, hey, we have this feral beer. And it's interesting, you know, the feral is a term that one of the owners, Adam, gave us, and it was derogatory.
Most time people think feral, they see cats and roaming.
Well, he's thinking, wow, this is, I mean, from his point of view, you know, he doesn't, you know, he supports us, but this is not his style of beer. So it was one of those things where it was kind of he looks at us as feral cats, I think, in many ways, to be eradicated or at least separated from the rest of it. And whereas I think he thinks of David Walker as somewhat feral, too, so he came on board. But we thought we'd have fun with it and gave it the name. But we thought, okay, we've got this wild beer, feral beer. Let's have some feral food with this. And the kitchen stepped up and came up with, I mean, it wasn't like roadkill, but we thought about that. But but we were getting, you know, things like venison, elk, quail, alligator.
I heard there was some rabbit, too.
Rabbit.
Frog.
Frog legs. So we just had fun with it. And right. It was, I mean, they really, I thought that was the fun thing is we brought the food into the equation. It wasn't just come and have a beer and drink as mm-hmm. much as you can. It's like, hey, you know, we're pairing this food with this, and right. we use game mm-hmm. as sort of the food medium. And it was awesome. It was really good. I didn't get, what were they? What were they? Elk sliders?
Yeah,
there's something like that.
Elk sliders, deep fried alligator tail.
Oh, yep,
that was great.
And as I start to kind of wrap up my thoughts, those aspects, the combination, the collaboration. Is what makes it really fun too, because influences of those foods are going to impact the beer, just like the beer is going to impact the food in return. So the compounds of both kind of playing on your palate or in your nose will create new experiences and new flavors and aromas that you weren't expecting when the two items were by themselves.
One thing that's great about these beers, these dark beers and food, is that the acid just really brightens up food in your mouth. Mm-hmm. As well, and it brings all kinds of new perspective on flavors that you might have been like kind of mulled over or dull. But in cooking, as you guys know, if you bring a little bit of acid to something, it really just sets things off. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Pints and Pairings Unfiltered. Follow us or like us across all the major platforms on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Give us a like, share us with your friends, and as always, eat, drink, and be happy.